Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this November 1st day, 2020, heading towards the holidays, big time. I hope you had a wonderful Halloween last night. I hope that you couldn't have had any trick-or-treaters. I remember being a kid and just loving Halloween. It used to be a lot simpler than it is now. I feel sorry for the kids now and what we have done to this earth as a humankind. I remember all sorts of wonderful traditions for Halloween, and well, they are what they are, and they're gone. So we have to live with what is, and that's partly what life is all about, the impermanence of everything. I noticed in my little town here of Carmel, California, there are a lot of things that have changed over the years, and hardly anything that I moved up here for is here anymore, including the weather. I mean, it is totally hot, and it is insanely crazy. And that's one of the reasons, major reasons I moved up here was because of weather. I lived in San Diego for hundreds of years, and it just got too hot for me all the time. So now the way it is up here, it's too hot up here. It's almost too hot anywhere. And so, at least for this guy. Anyway, I find that things change rapidly in our world, faster than a speeding bullet, as it were. And I look at this life from a different perspective. I look at it from not just the perspective of behavior, which most people gravitate towards, but towards the inwardness of this world, the inwardness of people in it, my inwardness, people's inwardness, generally speaking, just the inwardness of people, and how we congregate in the collective unconscious and create all sorts of mischief with the weather, with the environment, and of course with each other, but mainly with ourselves. I get loads of questions here and there about what I do, what is spiritual awakening, and that's going to be our subject for today. And a part of that awakening is what I'm talking about with the impermanence of our environment, our life, our world. I don't think people understand what spiritual awakening is. I don't think it's a consideration. I don't think it means much to people. I think it's just a word. They think of it as just, oh, that's what it is. And people don't know what I do. And when they do find out what I do, they often ask me, why would you do that? I understand. I really do. What I do with hospice, with my BATMO project, with the kids, all the things I try to do with my students and this radio program and my TV efforts over the years of my life were to help you understand that there is an alternative to conventional thinking and believing and living. And so we're going to take a look at some of that here, and hopefully it will help you. The first question comes from Edward. And he lives in Eureka, California. That's my mother was born in Eureka. So kind of brings back some memories. He asks, what does it mean to spiritually awaken? I've been to your website and I'm not quite clear. Please explain, Ed from Eureka. Boy, that's a big question. The only way I can truly answer it is, for me, I don't think there is a generic answer for that kind of question. I really don't. I think there has to be individual insight, individual caring, individual experience, direct experience. There is a part of us, Ed, that lives dormant in us. This dormant part is not human. It is not laced with the intricacies of our, let's say, primitive human instinct. It's not primordial. The intricacies of this thing that I'm talking about is very difficult to explain. Buddha did not explain it. Jesus did not explain it. It is inexplicable. And either you have come to it or it has come to you, or it doesn't. And I think it takes many, 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 many lifetimes to acquire. This part that we're talking about is an interest in the way things are from the premise of the eternal, from the immortal. That's the best way I can explain it. If you have a basic interest of the immortal spirit that lives within you, you start to realize that you're inhabiting a fleshly body for a period of time. And what are you doing with that body? What are you doing in it? That's really what it's all about. Most people misconstrue it. I have many friends, and I even have some colleagues who, well, they think that the whole idea is to change the human, to make it better, to make it work for them in their modality of survival, that a good life is a prosperous life, that kind of thing. And that would not be the case at all, not even remotely. There is something within us that awakens when you tap it, when you nudge it a little bit, when you are willing to see it beyond the eyes of the ego, the vanity, the pride, when you're willing just to kind of look, shall we say, in the periphery of your inner vision, and you see it for what it is. Now, if you can do that, if you are interested in that and you are not suspect of it, you just want to see what is in there that is beyond the confines of mental and emotional living, then you've come to an interesting place in your life. That is, first of all, your spirituality. Where does it lead? Eventually to the soul. But people like to assume they have a soul when they don't. It is not there. It is not prevalent to them. It is not even suspect to them. I get a kick out of people. I laugh when inside when I hear people talk about their soul and how they think it exists, but they betray it according to their verbiage. By living out of the human, you have to understand the soul is everything. It is the immortal part of us all. It is the reason I am here and you are here in this body, to learn of the soul, to eventually merge into it, not to acquire it, but merge into it. The awakening happens when you discover you are that, not this, in my case, the Gregory, or you, the Edward. When you truly understand and you have the compassion and the forgiveness inside to see that which is, that which exists as love, that which exists as goodness. Now, I say love and goodness only as words. To be truthful with you, these things do not have words at all. They are not explainable, explicable to the mind. the qualities that emulate from you and me that are of a spiritual nature cannot be defined by thought, mind, emotion. So to the human being, the entity that we are, this does not exist, because what is so beautiful about us all in this world cannot be captured by a thought, cannot be realized by thinking and through thinking. It is something other than thinking. And thinking doesn't capture the moment. It doesn't reveal the truth. It's simply thinking. And that's where people go wrong. What is meditation but to do that? It is to go beyond my thinking and to have the access to direct impression. The impression that exists, as I have talked about with you in prior radio programs, that exists between one thought and another. It is the gap, the pause between thoughts. So if you really want to understand what spiritual awakening is, Ed, you have to directly experience it. You can't sit here and listen to me on the radio, because what I have to say to you is speechless. It has no words to it. It's an unfoldment that is absolutely magnificent. And you can understand it, you can deal with it, you can live in it, you can experience it all on your own, whenever you so choose. It is that beautiful and that meaningful. So there you are, Ed. I don't know if I was articulate enough to help you, but there it is. It's nothing logical, it's nothing reasonable, and it's nothing mental or emotional. It is otherworldly, and it lives within us. It is not popular to talk about. It is not acceptable to the average person, because the only thing they can accept is what they can think, and that is a lot about arrogance and pride, and there is the way, the truth, and the light. Thank you, Ed, for your sincerity. And I hope you were patient enough to allow me to help you as I bumble through your answer. There are some things that are so exquisite that you can't put words to them. And I hope I got that over to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Harold from San Diego. How do you explain awakening? I don't understand. Harold, awakening in the spiritual realm has to do with coming to flourishing inside you, blooming inside you. It has nothing to do with concepts or beliefs. It has nothing to do with the idea of wanting something to appear in your intellect so you can talk about it. Real deep inner work is speechless. This is why silence is so important. The three premises that I offer to my students is very important. And it is to live simply, to live in solitude, and to live in silence. You put the three together, and you have your awakening. You have what it means to awaken. Awakening means that I was asleep, that I lived continuously in the mischief of Gregory, which kept me thinking and kept me wanting and kept me believing and kept me busy, so I couldn't see what it was that I'm really here to do. And that's the fact of the matter, truthfully speaking. But if we're going to mature into love, which is what the awakening is all about, we move into goodness and mercy. The goodness of your nature is found in the mercy of your nature. Your mercy is to awaken to the fact of the matter, the truth of the matter, that everything is in its right place, in its right time. Everything. In fact, that there is really no time nor space. But for the sake of words in this radio program, mercy is accepting the goodness of your nature beyond the conflicts and confines of a mind that is constantly trying to find what it wants to find, fault in others and good in ourselves. And that's the way we live. We do comparisons and we fight, we moan, we complain. All of that is there. All of that is there in the human. So to awaken has to do with the fact of the matter that we are touched by something greater than our thoughts can produce. One of the major problems we have is thought. We have what we call monkey mind, a mind that just goes from one thought to another, swinging on the vine of our beliefs and our attitudes and our concepts, and we just swing from one thing to another, to another, to another, constantly swinging. When we are no longer impressed with all of that, when we no longer want that to become what it is, which is an obsession and a compulsion, when we are no longer interested in what that is all about, we have a new mind. A mind that isn't, as Buddha said, concerned with what is right and wrong, good or bad. A no mind. A mind that is not infatuated with emotionality, with the emperor of all malice within us. Once you understand that, not in theory, not in concept, but in direct experience, when you are done with your mischief, when you can no longer do one more mischievous thing inside you. Harold, when it comes to the point where you realize what you have lost for the sake of your own mischief, your own desire, ambition, pride, vanity, once that is understood, that is when something starts to happen within you. The real, authentic search for the awakening. The awakening is to allow the human to be human, to live in the world, but not let the world live in you. So you're not allowing the values, the beliefs, the concepts, the fears of the world to live in you. You are looking for that which exceeds all of that, that which overwhelms the world in me. And I must be able to see the futility of living in this lifetime, wasting it on trying to change my outer conditions and circumstances. I must see that futility. It's kind of an apology to life. I start to realize inside of me, I need to live a life that is a constant apology for the way I have misunderstood it. In that kind of deep humility, you find that a new mind is born in you. This mind is extremely humble. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meekness is the teachability through humility. Once you understand all of that, and you're willing of all of that, that's when the awakening becomes very clear. And it's not a mental concept at all. You just live it. You don't try to believe it or think it. You just live it. It's just your way, your natural way. And what will happen to Harold and Greg and all of that? They always find their place. In fact, they're relieved. They find their place in your life, and they will just sit there and do whatever they do. But you will live in the goodness of your own mercy. And that is a very big step towards spiritual awakening. I hope that helps you, Harold. What a wonderful question. And thank you for the beautiful email. And please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, this is from Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives. Why do I or any of us need this spiritual awakening? How will it make my life better? Thomas, it will not make your life better. Not in the way you would probably like it, which is to be rich and happy and carefree and disease-free and all of that. It's not about that. This is a maturity issue. It isn't that you need it. You must realize it as an alternative to the convention of thinking. And if you don't realize what that's all about and why that is essential, then there is nothing I or anyone else can say that would help you understand what I'm talking about. While we are not talking about astrophysics here, we are talking about the complexities of living. Living in this world, or the simplicity of living in the awakening that is there within you, that is there as the causation of a life that you have yet to experience because you and I have been so busy in our mischief. It's intangible to the average person. They relegate everything to intellect. And that's why so few people can walk the path of the authentic. It's not that they're incapable of it, and it's not that the authentic isn't real. The problem is, with the authentic, is it is not relatable to the literal mind, to our thinking, to our beliefs, to our ideals. So we miss the entire experience of our life for the sake of conventional living. And we look around us and we see everybody doing what they're doing. We want affection and we want what we call love. So unconsciously, with our low self-esteem, we get married and have babies and do all sorts of things like having family, making that the most important thing in our life because these people are related to us biologically and they have the same tendencies and, oh golly, all of the human mischief comes out. Oh, they owe me this. I'm their mother. I'm their father. Da, 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 da. Together we rise and we will never fall and all of this goes on and on and on. We really believe this. And for believing it, we miss our entire life because there is this thing called love that is way beyond the circumstances of my biology and the way I think. I have to want love more than wanting what I think is love or will get me love. So, Thomas, that's a very difficult question to answer. And I think that's why we live in this world, to answer that question through great futility. I'm out of here. Thank you, Thomas, for your question. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I hope this helped you. We'll be back on the air next week. Thank you for your ears for listening. I am deeply honored. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.